Tonight we have my friend Dr. Magdi Latif, the professor of development. He will give us the second lecture, a very good lecture in development, leadership, machinery, many aspects of very important to us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, glory to His name forever. Amen. I feel privileged and honored to be with you tonight to talk about a very important aspect of evangelism, which I would call lifestyle evangelism. What do you mean by lifestyle? Lifestyle, by definition, means the way someone lives, the way he or she thinks, dresses, behave, talk, interact with people. And usually lifestyle reflects beliefs, values, principles, and also reflects the character of a person. Tonight we would like to talk about this dimension of evangelism. I know you have heard a lot about the why of evangelism, why we should evangelize, and the how of evangelism, how to approach others. But tonight I would like to focus more on how to live as witness to Jesus Christ. How to have this lifestyle evangelism even without going anywhere to evangelize. How evangelism is reflected in our daily interactions and behaviors and attitudes with one another. Let me tell you a funny story. When I was preparing this presentation, I remembered a funny story about someone who was very famous, and I'm sure that you've heard about him. His name was Mao Zedong. You know who is Mao Zedong? He was the Chinese leader, and he was the founder of New China and the communist leader, etc. During the early 70s, late president, American President Richard Nixon, you've heard about him as well, decided to visit China. Pardon? Yes, ping-pong diplomacy of Kissinger, you know. And the idea of President Nixon, he wanted to initiate a dialogue between America and China. So he decided to take this initiative of visiting China. When Mao Zedong learned that Nixon wants to visit him, he looked at his people and said, "Well, how are we going to communicate?" They told him, "Don't worry, Mr. President, because all the talks will be interpreted. There will be interpreters, translators, that will translate the whole talks." He said, "Well, but I am as a president, I should be able to talk in English. So I have to learn English. Well, I want to learn at least one sentence or a phrase so that when President Nixon comes, I can communicate with him." So they said, "Okay, we will make life easy for you and for everybody. And when you meet with him for the first time, you say, 'How are you?'" That's easy. He said, "Okay, that's easy." He kept repeating and rehearsing. One week later, he said, "Well, I want to learn another sentence." They said, "Okay, after you say the first sentence, you say, 'How do you do?'" So he kept rehearsing the two sentences. 2 weeks later, President Nixon arrived. Mao Zedong went to meet with him, to receive him at the airport. But all of a sudden, he forgot the sentences. So when he met with Nixon, he said, "Who are you?" Everybody ran, stepped in. This is not the right sentence to say. You don't say to the president, "Who are you?" He said, "Okay, well." And then he moved to the second question. He kept also forgetting. "What do you do?" And then they kept saying to him, "No, you shouldn't ask the president, 'Who are you and what you do?'" "What you do means, بتشتغل إيه؟ Who are you يعني أنت مين?" Of course, that was very embarrassing. But this funny story, despite, I'm not sure that it happened yet, it happened really or not, but it indicates two very important questions that I would like to very much to focus on our tonight lecture. Who are you what do you do? It's not the question about your name or your profession, but it's much more important than that. Let us see, what do we mean by lifestyle evangelism, and what does it mean to answer this question of who am I and what I'm supposed to do? God always has two primary agendas: the type of person you are and the fulfillment of His purpose through that person. These are God's agenda for each and every one of us. And these two agenda implies two fundamental questions. The first is, who am I becoming? And the second is, am I fulfilling God's call and purpose for my life? Our lecture today will revolve around these two fundamental questions that to me are not only related to evangelism, but it's related to what they call the raison d'être, the reason of existence, why we are here. Not why we are here in St. Mark Church, but why we are here on earth. Why we were born in the first place. What is our call? What is our mission? What is our purpose of life? And then, how this is reflected in the way we live, we interact, which ultimately leads to a spontaneous kind of evangelism, even if we don't intend to evangelize. St. Paul mentioned in his message to the Colossians, he tried to answer that second question, the purpose and the call. And he said, the purpose and the call of each one of us is to live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of Christ, strengthened with all power for great endurance and patience. And he kept praying, asking the Lord to fill us with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This second part about to live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, etc. This is the call, this is the mission, this is what we are supposed to be doing. But to be able to do that, we need to be filled with wisdom, filled with knowledge about Him, and filled with spiritual understanding. And these two dimensions of life, external life, interacting with people in daily life, and internal part of our life, which is how do we know the Lord, how do we experience His leadership to our life, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how to be guided. And this is the whole business of the church in its teaching to us. Let us look at the inner side of each one of us, and please bear with me because I assume that what is coming now is very important to each one of us. The core being, the inner side of each one. This picture depicts what they call the iceberg phenomena. Have you heard about iceberg? What is iceberg? What is this? Exactly, Jabal al-Talq. This is the tip of the iceberg, the tip of the Jabal al-Talq. This is the seen or the visible part of the mountain of ice. But underneath, there is the unseen or the invisible part, which looks to be what? Much bigger, much broader, much stronger, much rooted than the tip. You remember the story of the famous Titanic? What happened to Titanic? Why Titanic drowned? Because it hit the tip, because they did not realize that there is this very big invisible or unseen or invisible part. This picture relates very much to our core being. For us, what is behind, what is beneath the tip, what is unseen and invisible, is the kind of core values and belief system that we have, the kind of convictions we have, the kind of guiding principles that guide our way of thinking and interacting. also it relates to the personal obstacles and hindrances that impedes our work, impedes our life. There are many ties, there are many obstacles. Some of them we inherit from our childhood, and some are imposed on us. And these two both relate to our character. The character of you and me is very much related to the kind of obstacles and hindrances that we face, and related to the kind of guiding principles and belief system and core values. All of these are reflected on our conduct or lifestyle. The external part of our life is the conduct, is the lifestyle, namat al-haya. But this namat al-haya, this lifestyle, is just the visible part. This is what others see when they deal with us. What is not seen to others, which is actually the main drive to the way we behave, is these three pillars. Tonight I would like to talk about these four elements, because they relate very much about the lifestyle evangelism. They relate very much about our existence and our core being. Let's start with our character. Question one: what is God's goal for you as a person? Why you were created in the first place? What is God's goal for each of you? St. Paul answers this important question when he says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." لِيَكُونُ مُشَابِهِينَ لِصُورَةِ إِبْنُ. This is the raison d'être. This is the core of our existence. We were born to be conformed to the image of Christ. How this happens? How am I conformed to the image of Christ? Again, Jesus himself answered this question when he said to them all, and the same is said to us as well, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Well, this is the journey in brokenness. It occurs as we obey this commandment, resulting in the molding or the shaping of the faculties of our inner man, the components of our inner man. This is what dictates our responses, whether it is a spirit-led or carnal. Carnal means sinful nature, physical nature, the normal human beings' responses. The way we respond to things will be decided whether it is spirit-led, مُقَادَبِ الرُّوحِ, or it is carnal, إنسان الطبيعي, الإنسان القديم, the sinful nature. But how this brokenness, how this conversion takes place, how would we be able to deny ourselves every day and to carry the cross after Christ? This is very serious commandment. And he said to all of us, if anyone desires to follow me, he has to carry his cross. How? In the epistle to the Thessalonians, St. Paul said, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Look at how St. Paul defines our core being into three main components: spirit, soul, and body. This is what we say in our Holy Mass, because you are the true healer of our الطبيب الحقيقي لأمراض نفوسنا وأجسادنا وأرواحنا. It's taken from this verse. But how this spirit, soul, and body, how they interact, how these three components can live a life that is every day conformed to be on the image of his son. What this verse means is that sanctification, at-taqdis, is holistic. It covers the totality of a human being. Sanctification, taqdis, every man and every woman, won't cover one aspect only. It covers our spirit, it covers our souls, it covers our bodies. Let us see how this body, soul and spirit are integrated together. You remember the iceberg. The invisible part is the inner man. The unseen part is the inner man. What people do not see, which includes what? Includes spirit and soul. And what is the outer man? What is seen outside is the body, which are the five senses. This means that the inner man, which includes the spirit and the soul, are the underneath part where the body, the five senses, communicate with others. How do we communicate with people? Through the five senses, الحواس الخمس. The way we see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. And through these five senses, we interact with the external environment. We interact with people. We see them, we listen to them, we taste things, we touch things, and then we interact through these five senses. But this interaction, this communication with others, is the outer man. The inner man in each of us is the soul and the spirit, الروح والنفس. Let us see how this sanctification happens and how this lifestyle which appears in the outer man is influenced by the inner man. How are the faculties or the components of our soul, mind, emotions, will are shaped and broken daily and dealt with by God? How God deals with our soul? This is very important part, because usually our souls, نفسيه الانسان, something that decides very much the way he interacts. Let us start with first component of our soul is the natural mind, العقل. What is in our natural mind? What is in a mind of a natural person who is not living a life of Jesus Christ? What would you see in a natural man? How do he or she thinks? Ego? Yes? Right? What else? Materialism? Right? What else? Satisfying needs. Just drived by normal needs? Lusts? Let us see what it says here. The natural mind have all these kind of features. Yeah, you press. Argumentative? No. Below. Yeah, just leave it. Yeah, it will come. Press one. Argumentative, skeptical, mindset full of self, not willing to yield, to give, stubborn, cynical, ساخر, opinionated, narrow-minded, suspicious, and all type of human wisdom of the world. So this is the kind of natural man. This is the natural mind. What about the renewed mind? What about the mind that has been sanctified by the Lord? This mind shows our mind must be daily renewed after the mind of Christ. Every day our mind is renewed. And this is very much expressed by the verse of St. Paul when he said, be not fashioned according to the world. لا تشكلوا هذا العالم. لا تشكلوا هذا الدهر. بل تغيروا عن شكلكم بتجديد أذهانكم. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So one of the key things that happen in our minds, in our soul, when we really experience the new life in Jesus Christ, is our mind change, our mindset change. The kind of thinking that a normal person would think, our mind is different. So it is renewed. تجديد الذهن, what we call in our church, you know, metanoia. Metanoia means repentance, means توبة. And that's why St. Paul says only, أما نحن فلنا فكر المسيح. We have the mind of Christ. Let us look to another aspect of our souls, the emotions, natural emotions. What would you see in natural emotions? Yeah, leave it here. Feelings, envy, lust, mood swings, impatience, low self-image or esteem, insecurity, jealousy, cannot rejoice with others' successes, need to boast, defend self versus have nothing to prove. All these are the natural emotions. This is a human person would feel. Different types of extremes of feelings. But what about, next, the spirit-led emotions? How our emotions, if it is a spirit-led, how it would look like? Our emotions must be surrendered to the Holy Spirit. He will temper our emotions to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. If our emotions are led by the Spirit, what will appear? Not the human kind of emotions, but a spiritual type of emotions. And he described it beautifully when he mentioned the 9 fruits of the Spirit. We know all of them. Samar al-Ruh al-Qudus. Amma samar al-Ruh fahuwa. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. This is the type of emotions for a renewed emotions. Let us look at third dimension of our souls, the will, al-irada. What would you see in a natural will? Al-irada al-tabi'i, al-insan al-tabi'i. What does it include? It includes the same things. Stubborn, inad, reaction from hurts, ردود أفعال من الإحساس بالألم, foolish, prejudiced, unenlightened, uninformed, biased, not wise, not according to the word, the will and the way of God. This is the natural will. This is a human will. What about a Christian will? How it would look like? You following what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to differentiate between a normal person and a Christian, a new creation in Jesus Christ. How would the soul, spirit and body are different? Because this is the core being of a Christian. Yielded will. Will that surrenders, that submits to the Lord. What does it include? Our will must be aligned with God. There is no one will, my will and your will. It is only one will, which is His will. We then have the knowledge, spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding to make correct, enlightened decisions and choices. This kind of enlightenment in our life, in our will, in our acts, won't come without having the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and guiding us. It won't happen unless this renewal takes place. The core being is a must. We cannot talk about evangelism. We cannot talk about Jesus without experiencing this kind of renewed life. This is a foundation. And this is every and each Christian should experience. And we should judge ourselves. And it's nice that we are approaching the end of the year. When we come to the eve of the 1st of January 2010, we should assess ourselves again as these kind of benchmarks. Question number 4. How can the faculties of our spirit man, i.e. the relationship, conscience and discernment, be strengthened? Let us look at what happens for the spirit of a person who really submits his life to the Lord, who really lives a lifestyle that really fulfills the good will of the Lord. Relationship, as described by Saint Augustine, has 2 dimensions. A vertical dimension, which is the relationship between me and mean the Lord. And a horizontal dimension, which relates my relationship to me, to the others. And by these 2 dimensions of relationship is the real judgment of how do I relate. The Holy Spirit strengthening my relationship with God and with others. How? By intake of the word, the Bible, by growing in prayer and communion, the holy sacraments, the Eucharistia, because this makes my spirit flourish and grow. By building our altar of thanksgiving, praise and worship. This is a daily practice. This is our fundamental practices of our daily life. through which our relationship with the Lord is nourished, and ultimately will reflect on our relationships with one another. What else? The inner man. Yeah. Hear what he says in Corinthians. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the harmony of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That was the last verse in the second message, to second epistle to the Corinthians. Ni'mat al-ibn al-wahid, mahabbat Allah al-ab, wa sharikat al-ruh al-qudus. This is our relationship to the Holy Trinity. And this is the way the grace and the love and the harmony dwells in us and make our relationship with Him and with one another harmonized and flourishing. Another dimension of the Spirit is the conscience, al-damir. And the Holy Spirit sensitizes my conscience. So that, as he says in the first letter of Timothy, having faith and a good conscience, وَلَكَ ضَمِيرٌ صَالِحٌ, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. Those who do not have this kind of good conscience may lose their way easily. That's why he spoke to Timothy about this new conscience. A third dimension in the inner man, in the spirit, is the discernment, which is in Arabic means al-ifraz. And we all know, because we are sons of our great father Saint Anthony, when he mentioned that one of the most important and one of the greatest virtues of a spiritual man is fadilat al-ifraz. What do you mean by al-ifraz, discernment? The Holy Spirit sharpening my discernment. And as it says in Hebrews, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. الَّذِينَ صَارَتْ لَهُمْ الْحَوَاسِ مُدَرَّبَةً عَلَى التَّمِيزِ بَيْنَ الْخَيْرِ وَالشَّرِ. This is an important element of our inner spirit. All these dimensions, if we want to summarize how the Holy Spirit, when dwells in me, in the inner man, it works on my spirit, my relationships, conscience and discernment, which is reflected on my soul, my mind, emotions and will. And then this is reflected on the outer man, in the body and in the five senses. And by doing so, these are expressed in my living, in all my responses and decisions, to be more like Christ. And this is my witness to the world. This table summarizes how justification, at-tabrir, leads to sanctification, taqdis, leads to glorification of the Lord, tamjid Allah. These are the three key dimensions of our Christian faith. And this is what really the Holy Spirit does in us. This is our faith. For that faith, Jesus Christ came and He died for us to justify us, yubarrirna. And by justification of us, we are sanctified, taqaddasna. And by sanctification, we might be able to glorify His name. Our life in the world, this is the outer man, this is what people see, this is the world sees in us, is just glorification of His name, which won't happen without sanctification, which won't happen without justification. So the three are intermingled together. The three are related together. I cannot be justified without the blood of Jesus Christ, without baptism, without confession, without Eucharistia. This is the faith of our church that we have, you know, accepted from our fathers, and we are entitled to submit to our children as well. This is justification. It's outside the name of Jesus Christ, no one could be justified. And once we are justified by His blood, then we will be sanctified. Our souls will be different from the human souls. Our minds will be different, our emotions will be different, our will be different. And if these three are different, then our interaction to the entire world will be different. So lifestyle evangelism, which talks about this side, cannot be without this side and that side. We sometimes jump into actions. I lied. I spoke foul language. I did this, I did that. But a spiritual father usually don't stop at the acts, but always draw my attention to why you did so. Then you need to work on your soul and you need to work on your spirit. This is the lifestyle evangelism. What happens in these three dimensions, in these three spirit, if we remember, spirit, soul and body, this is a continuous process of transformation, what we call character transformation. تغيير في شخصية الإنسان. And this is a continuous process. It doesn't happen overnight. And this is the life story of each of us. We started and it never ends until we surrender our spirits to the Lord. That's why it was beautifully described by Saint Paul when he said, we all know this beautiful verse. لأعرفه وقوة قيامته وشاركة ألامه متشبها بموته لعلي أبلغ إلى قيامة الأموات. I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him. This is the key word, becoming like him. This is the transformation of our character, to become like him. This is the calling and the purpose for which we were born, so that we attain the resurrection from the dead. But this transformation of character doesn't happen smoothly and easily. There are obstacles and there are hindrances. What are those obstacles and hindrances? If you look at this man, he is trying to jump, but what you call this? Yeah. What happens here? What kind of obstacles and hindrances that may take place? It might be, yes, unhealed hurts. It might be unresolved issues. It might be unmet needs. It might be certain possessions or certain activities or family not in order or certain relationships. All these like weights, like burdens. And as he said in Hebrews, as we are circled by so great a cloud of witness, وَإِذْ لَنَا سَحَابًا مِنْ شُهُودِ مَقْدَارُ هَذِهِ مُحِيطَ بِنَا فَلْنُحَاضِرْ بِالصَّبْرِ فَلْنَخْلَعْ, putting off every weight, فَلْنَرْفَعْ عَنَّا كُلَّ حِمْلٍ, and the sin into which we come so readily, وَالْخَطِيَّةَ الْمُحِيطَ بِنَا بِسُهُولَةٍ, let us keep on running in the way which is marked out for us. It's a race. You know a race? It's a sabak. It's a way that is marked for us. So this transformation of our characters is not an automatic and is not an easy thing. There will be obstacles. What are these kind of obstacles? What do you mean by unhealed hurts? What does it mean? The unhealed hurts, this might be inherited from our early childhood, or unresolved issues, or unmet needs. I read an interesting interpretation why Joseph survived the very serious temptation he had from the wife of his master, while David fell into sin. Why? Because they were both tempted with a similar kind of sin. The interesting interpretation says that Joseph was a beloved son of his father, so he has some sort of emotional security, while David was not. It might be that kind of unhealed hurt. Yes, it appeared here. This kind of unhealed hurt led David to be weak because he was not emotionally secure. This dates back to the early childhood. In your life and in my life, I'm sure that we all have some sort of unmet, unhealed hurts. We may suffer from some sort of guilt feeling or inferiority or violence or neglect or whatever kind of unhealed hurts. And unless we face these kinds of hurts, we won't be able to surpass or go beyond these kind of obstacles. Family disorder. If a family is not in order, if you have a problem with your wife or with your husband or with your child or with your brother, this may hinder your spiritual growth. It may hinder the transformation of your character. That's why it is very important for us to be aware that this kind of unresolved issues, these kind of obstacles and hindrances have to be confronted, have to be dealt with, not to impede our growth in spirit and in our spiritual life. Then come to the core value. The core values, as we mentioned, they are the convictions you develop and they become your guiding principles in life. مبادئ الحياة. And your core values must be aligned with the word of God. Everybody of us has some sort of core value. قيم للحياة. What would be your and my core values? Let us look at some of the core values of a Christian person. All these are kind of personal core values. Learning, growing in faith, walking in obedience, seeking counsel, discretion, willing to yield, Christ the center of life, accountability, hard work, perseverance, positive attitudes, deep sense of being loved and accepted by God, firm belief, the sovereignty of God. Nothing happens by chance. These are just examples of the kind of core values or guiding principles that if we have it, it will lead us into a different kind of attitude and relationships. Why? Because, next, our conduct, our lifestyle comprises the underlying attitudes in terms of the way we posture and the in-body language. It also relates to our actual behavior in terms of the way we relate, act, and respond to others. In other words, our conduct or lifestyle reflects our core values and convictions and is influenced by our character and our personal hindrances. Complicated? Little bit. But if we recall back this iceberg, what is visible and what is invisible? The visible is the conduct, the lifestyle, the way I interact, the way I talk, the way I dress, the way I speak. But what is beneath, the invisible and the unseen, is the core values, because this dictates the way I think and interact. If I'm humble, if following the example of Jesus Christ as a humble person, my interaction will be different. But if I'm arrogant, if this is my core value, is that I'm better than others, then my interaction will be different, and so on and so forth. Personal conducts, lifestyle issues, we must aim to set goals to have. First, conscience, void of offense, or in other words, no reason for shame before God and towards man. أن يكون الإنسان بلا لوم أمام الآخرين وأمام الله له ضمير بلا لوم. Second, intentionally put safeguards in the areas of vulnerability in our personal conduct. Give attention to yourself. The great commandment that St. Paul gave to Timothy, and he was a bishop, what he told him, give attention to yourself, which means لاحظ نفسك. Every and each one of us needs to keep attention to himself or herself. Some people, interestingly, said this, guard these three G's or three W's or three S's. What are these threes? The three G's, the first G is glory. Don't be after self-glory. The second G is gold. What does gold mean? Money. And the third G, and excuse me, girls. But of course not the girls in this room here, or the church, other girls. Which indicates, you know, that these are the kind of battlefields that Satan may attack you. Or three W's. First W is wealth. حب المال. And the second W is, again, women. Sorry again, but this is what they said. And the third W is, interestingly, wine. Khamr. The three S's, the first S is silver. Silver again means what? Money. And the second S is status, which relates to ego or zet. And the third S is sex. This is an interesting way, you know, people have put, you know, these are the kind of guards. Because each of us might be vulnerable in one of these three areas. And this is what Saint John in his first epistle mentioned. لأن كل ما في العالم شهوة الجسد والعيون وتعظم المعيشة ليست من الله بل من العالم لا تحب العالم ولا الأشياء التي في العالم. So these are the kind of attacks or the guards. And everybody would be able very much to know what would be the one W or the one S or the one G that he or she might be attacked for. Now, summary of destiny or destination. I'm approaching my end. God has planned for you and I. Now we are going to summarize all what I mentioned. The first thing is to be a certain type of person. And to fulfill his purpose for your life. And the fundamental question is, who am I becoming? And am I conformed to the image of His Son or not? And the second question is, am I fulfilling God's call and purpose for my life? What would be the call and purpose of my life? And what would be, I'm coming, this decides my personal destiny. This is my destiny. This is what will happen by end of the days. God give you all long life. But at some point, we will find a destiny. And our destiny will be decided by the answers of these two fundamental questions. Who am I becoming? And am I fulfilling the call and purpose for my life? This is the purpose-driven life. This is the kind of life that not only witnesses Jesus Christ, but fulfills its mandate, its raison d'être, or its core being. The call and the purpose, beautifully described by St. Paul when he mentioned, in whom also we are made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His will. And he says again, for by His act we were given existence in Christ Jesus to do those good works. خلقنا من أجل أعمال صالحة قد سبق فأعدها لكي نسلك فيها. These are the call and purpose. Our personal vision, you and me, is like two halves of a magnet. The first magnet is you, and the second magnet is God's will for you. And during the entire life, these two magnets, these two poles of one magnet, try to attract you to one direction. Either you are directed to yourself, so you'll be self-centered, or you are directed to Christ, so you'll be Christ-centered. And it directs. If you are centered around yourself, it will be your personality. Next, it will be gifting, talents, strengths, and experiences. But if you are guided by God's will for you, you're looking at personality, gifts, and talents and strengths with His view of the purpose of your life, with the calling to the need that He wants you to fulfill, to the vision that He has for you, and to the mission to accomplish. This is the way we should see ourselves. This is the way we should understand why we are here. Not in this room, but why we are here on earth. What is the calling? Why we are here? Because this is a fundamental question before we answer the second question, is are we fulfilling that purpose or not? And by then we'd be able to answer whether we are really witnessing His life or not. To summarize, the last lifestyle evangelism is to live a life that has heard the voice of God, that defines who we are and what we were born to do. Lifestyle evangelism means that do not consume your life in aimless pursuits and activities. Your life is very worthy. Worthy to what? To the call and the purpose He has brought to you. Live a life of purpose. No one Christian person can say that my life is worthless. You cannot say that, because your life is very much valuable to the Lord. It is very precious because it cost Him His blood. Pursue the destiny God planned for you. And we remember, in conclusion, the verse that was mentioned in the Acts, when St. Paul gave his last speech to the Ephesians before he left them and he went to Jerusalem to face his martyrdom. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, ولا أحسب نفسي ثمينة عندي, so that I may finish my race. Look to what extent St. Paul was very clear about his destiny and his purpose, to finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. This is the mission that is before each of us. And this is the purpose, and this is the calling, that we all ask the Lord to give us the enlightenment, so that we acknowledge it, we follow it, and we submit our life for Him. Glory to His name forever and ever. Amen. If any question, I will be happy to answer, and I hope that I didn't complicate the life to you, but I tried to go a little bit deeper into how do we understand our lifestyle and how does it relate to evangelism. We didn't talk about the how, because you know it better than me by all these, you know, lectures that they listen. But we all need to come back and ask our questions, the why. Remember the two questions that Mao Tse-tung asked: who are you? What do you do? Thank you.